listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all you listeners wherever you are around the world, maybe on the internet, or if you're listening on the radio here locally, or wherever you're at, we just welcome you to the program. We trust you'll be blessed with what you hear today, not because of Pastor Don and I, but because we're going to give you the Word of God. Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have for 22 years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and so we welcome you to the program. It's an honor to be on WCNO and let the Word of God go out over the airway. And so we trust you'll be blessed with what you hear. Put it in your heart. You be a Berean. You check out these things and see if they be so. And you'll grow and mature in the things that God wants you to grow in. So we just release this program to all you listeners right now to hear from the Lord. And so we're honored to be here with you as we are every Saturday from this time. And so we just thank God for all of you that listen. We've heard from many of you. Many people don't ever call, but we know a lot of people are listening. But we get a call for once in a while from somebody that's been listening to the program. Haven't we done it for years and years?
Years and years. So
we thank them for that, for listening. But we'd also ask it if you enjoyed the program over the years and all, well, you know, this program is not free. We have to pay for our airtime. If you would be led by the Spirit of God to send an offering, well, you can make out a check to our ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And the mailing address is Post Office Box 413, P.O. Box 413, Stewart, Florida. And the zip is 34995 to help us stay on the radio program. We offer tapes or CDs if somebody would like one. All we have to ask you to do is give us a call, or you could just write a check to the ministry and mention what CD you want or tape and what date, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. We have those available for you, and so we're honored to be here with you. We've been on here, what now, 17 plus years?
And growing.
It's been a pleasure to be on the radio all these years and to speak the Word of God. So we praise the Lord for all He's been doing with us over these years.
Amen. Praise
so
God.
Stay tuned in for the whole hour if you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you'll get something out of this that you'd like to understand and know. We're going to talk a little bit about Esther with Pastor Don. But Donna's probably got a couple of announcements she'd like to make here before we start. My beautiful wife is sitting across this desk from me. And
thank
we're honored
Lord.
To co-pastor this church here in Stewart, Florida. So Pastor Don, tell them what you need
and,
to tell
and
them.
And the name of the church so that we have fellowship is Spirit of Prophecy. And we're right here in Stewart, Florida, right off of Canner Highway and in the Monterey Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to come and visit us, just I'm going to give you the phone number in a few minutes. So get something to write with. Mm-hmm. And so you can give us a call and we can give you directions. Or if you'd like to have some information about Pastor Gene, I'm sure he's going to mention his commentary today. Because all the things that we are going to talk about are in his commentary. Of course, we won't be able to touch on all of it, but certainly a good part of it will this week and next week. So I want to mention that we do have services here in Stewart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And we have, and then on Friday, we have our Friday night service, our Shabbat service, mm-hmm. and that's at 7 p.m. Uh-huh. And we spend time after we have communion and honoring this Shabbat, the Sabbath.
Amen.
And we spend time seeking God's presence. Amen. And listen to some awesome prophetic worshiping with some prophetic music. And then on Saturdays, we have different classes. We offer a worship arts class, which includes ministering in dance and flags and banners and all different types of things. You know, tabrets. We have classes. We make tabrets. You say, what is a tabret? Well, have to come and you'll find out what it is. But it's a worship instrument, similar to a tambourine, but it doesn't have any jingles on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's on Saturday. We have those classes at 2 o'clock, and then we have our Bible school at 4. And today we are continuing in our witnessing soul savings class, and it's a script, and it's an awesome script. It's something that Rodney Howard Brown, and we're part of the soul saving group over there, and so it teaches us to go out and to be a witness and share the love of Jesus with others. Amen. So come, we have a wonderful couple that's teaching this, and you'll just be blessed. And that's at 4 o'clock today, this afternoon, and then we spend a little time praying after that. So praise God. I also want to mention one other thing, Pastor Gene. We're going to be talking about Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it's not too many chapters in that book, but it's a powerful book.
Sure is.
Amen. And the name of God is hidden in there in secret. It's not mentioned in the writing, but you see God all through the book. And we are moving into a new prophetic season. Mm-hmm. See, we're coming into Purim, which is followed by Passover. These two seasons to kind of work. One is like an introduction for the other, I feel, and they're like 30 days apart mm-hmm. from each other, exactly 30 days apart. And so what we do is we have an Esther program at our church, and that will be, and you are welcome to come if you want to mark that down. That's going to be on Saturday,
March what?
At 5 o'clock on March 7th. It's
March
on Saturday.
The 7th, okay. Mm-hmm, March 2 7th. Weeks from today, right?
Right. Actually, Purim begins on Wednesday, the 4th of March, is the eve of Esther, and then the Feast of the Lots and all that. That's the Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday we will have our little skit and some celebrations, some little snacks to eat, and that's going to be on the 7th of March. Mm-hmm. At 5 o'clock. So if you could give us a call, we'd love to know how many people are coming so we can prepare and for the food and all that. Amen.
Amen.
And also want to mention that Passover is coming up, so you might want to mark your calendar, because we have a Passover Seder every year.
Yes, we
and
do.
We have a lot of people come, so you really need to get, you know,
we fill
RSVP,
the room, don't we? Yeah.
RSVP, right? Yeah. And that will be on April the 4th. Also at 5 o'clock. Amen.
We don't charge anybody money for this. It's a free thing. All we do is we put a basket by the door, and as you come in or after the dinner, if you're led at all to give something for the Seder, we just ask you to voluntarily put something in there, $5, $10, mm-hmm. whatever you want to put in there. So
we have an awesome meal, home-cooked
incredible
meal.
It's
not just snacks.
That's right.
I mean, it's an awesome meal, and the people from the church prepare it. And, you know, you go to most Seders.
They charge you quite a bit of
money. Pastor Gene teaches, and we teach, and you will have a great, great understanding. It's not just a dinner. You'll have a great understanding of how the importance of Passover is. And so it's a great, and so a lot of people really are interested in more about their Jewish roots. That's what this program's about. A lot of it is, you heard mm-hmm. the introduction, teaching people about their Jewish roots. And I might want to mention also is a lot of you are getting the commentary. Just call. The commentary that Pastor Gene has covers all the feasts, covers so many things. Covers also this pyramid. It covers, it covers Daniel and the book of Revelation. It has charts in it, end times, when's Jesus coming back.
All the things line up.
All these things. And for $25, I mean, you would pay $100 for that. It's actually a total, I call it a college course in the Feast of the Lord. So I know you'd be blessed by that. So if you like that, you can also give us a call about that. So I wanted to mention that. Now I'm going to give you the phone number. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to say hello to everyone out there and let you know that we're also on the internet. So you can go to WCNO.com and you can listen to this broadcast and others that we have. Just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard. Look for Raising the Standard. That's the name of this radio broadcast. And also you'll see Pastor Gene Hilton's name, and that's where you can listen to this program and other ones that we have made in the past. Amen. So the phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. Amen. And that's what we are. We're 007 agents for God. And you know, 7 is a powerful number, Pastor Gene.
Yeah.
And God is... 7 is a powerful number. And I said, you know, I said, Lord, when you gave me that number, I said, that you're speaking to me. We're 007, you know, we got the O's, two O's in the middle. We have to be like bookends. We have to be right on God's prophetic timeline. And so as I was saying, we're coming into this new season. This is a new season. And I feel that the warfare has increased. And, you know, we're going to be talking about Esther. That was a time of warfare and how things increased. And, you know, once you got to go through the warfare before you have the deliverance, you know, Passover is a picture of deliverance. But there's a warfare to go through, to go through this warfare to set you up to be able to go through deliverance and to Passover. And even Moses, you know, there were things that he had to do in preparation before he could take them through the sea. There were things that had to be done. There was warfare. And so we have to know that, the wind of God is moving and that we got to stay. We're talking about this whirlwind. We got to stay in the peace of God. Even though things are increasing, we still have to press into the center of the mark. We have to press into the center of the mark. And there we'll be protected and we'll be, God's watching over us. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. We also need to mention, too, the month of March has... the full solar eclipse.
That's right. What is it? On the 20th, I think.
It's on the 20th.
Of March.
The full solar eclipse.
Another
and
sign
we'll
in the heavens.
We'll be teaching about that. I'm sure you've heard teachings by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and others, Jewish people.
Mark Biltz.
Yes.
Rabbi Mark Biltz.
About this full solar eclipse. What will that bring? Well, we will find out.
We shall see. Amen.
We shall see.
Another sign in the heavens. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to talk a little bit about Esther here today. And as we were talking about before we came on, the Lord just spoke to me. He said, we're going to start from the back end and go forward. You know, we always go through the beginning. Maybe we'll do some of that next week. But the key thing is, Donna was talking about deliverance here. Think about it. This time called Purim was also a time of deliverance. There was a group of people in the Persian kingdom that wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And so God used Mordecai and Esther. You know, they were cousins. And, of course, Esther's name was Hadassah. But they were used of God to save the nation of Israel. So you'll see the beginning of all this when the lots were cast and all that. That's how we come up with the name Purim, because it means pur, which means to cast lots. Well, it started at Passover, okay? And so it was a time of deliverance. And but I want to go to the very back, the tail end of the book of Esther. And I would like to start back there and just see what happened with the results of their faithfulness with God and all that.
Mm-hmm. And why are we doing this? Well, sure. I'm just going to read one verse here in Esther 9, chapter 9, verse 28. It says, "And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation."
Right.
Every generation. Are we not born again? Are we not grafted in to the branch, you know, to Yeshua, mm-hmm. to God, to the God's people? We are, aren't we? And kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews. They must remember them, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed.
Right.
We've been grafted into Father Abraham is our father, isn't he?
Amen.
Said he would have many, many, many children, many sons. And so remember that song we sing with the kids?
Father Abraham.
Father Abraham had many sons.
Yeah.
Amen. So we need to know these things, and we need to remember these things, and
yeah.
we need to tell them to our children and to our grandchildren. Because these are miracles that God did in the past, and so it builds our faith to see that God he still does miracles, and he says that he established this as a time, and even the dates, you're going to talk about the dates. Mm-hmm. You know, he established this on the 14th day of the month of Adar,
the 12th month in the Jewish calendar.
Amen. And we know Yeshua, what happened to him on the 14th month, 14th day of the month of Nisan.
He died.
That's right. God has, and this would be the 14th day would be what? The time of the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
The full moon. And God does horizon, a lot of things on the full moon.
That's right.
Praise
but
God.
I thought we'd think about this. We talk about this. We know that Mordecai was instrumental with Esther. We know that. But there was a man in the kingdom by the name of Haman. And when we talk about it, everybody says, boo, when they mention his name. But Haman, he came out of he was an Agagite. In other words, mm-hmm. Years ago, back in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul was told to take over that land that King Agag had. And they were not to take any of the spoil, and they were to kill everything. Well, they failed to do that. And so they had a curse with him for all these years. So we find out that Haman is a descendant of King Agag in his line.
And he had 10 sons.
And he had 10 sons. That's where we're going to go over and start.
He had 10 sons, and that's a picture of what the end time. See, we see this part here. It's not quite in the middle of the Bible, right?
Right.
But we see he had 10 sons, which had to happen before all this happened. He had all these children, and then we see what happened back there when Saul was disobedient.
Yeah, he was.
And they were supposed to kill all of those Agagites, right?
And they killed them all.
And he didn't do it. He didn't obey God.
And then they took the spoil.
And so this whoever didn't die, they had more and more of these children, these Agagite children. And then what happened? Their hate for the Jews built. Look what's going on today. Mm-hmm. So we can even go ahead, which we're not going to do today, at the very end. And we'll find that there's 10, again, it mentions 10.
That's right. 10 kings.
10 kings. And so what are kings? What are kings? Kings are kings of what? Nations.
That's right. Represents kingdoms, yeah.
Kingdoms. And so which hate the Jews. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things really haven't, I mean, the timeline has changed, but the thought is still the same.
And the spirit's still behind it.
And the spirit, that's a good point, Pastor Dean. Spirits never die.
They're still behind it.
Spirits never die. No, if somebody is full of demons, okay, and they die, say right now, say somebody who doesn't know the Lord and they're not saved, they're not born again, and they're full of demons and they die, do you think those demons die?
Nope.
No, they don't. Nope. Demons only, they don't stay in dead bodies, or they will go and they will get into, and some people don't believe this, Pastor Gene, but Jesus talked about, he cast a lot of devils out, and he talked about casting out devils.
They were even in the pigs, weren't they? They were put into the pigs.
He cast them out, and they went to the pigs, and the pigs couldn't stand it, and they ran into the water and drowned. Well, so that's another thing. You think those demons drowned in the water with the swine?
Mm-mm.
No, they didn't. Devils and spirits don't die.
They look out.
Demons don't die.
They look for somebody else they can manipulate themselves through.
Whether it be an animal or a person.
That's right.
And even we could go into generational things. People who families, you say, oh my gosh, you're just like your mother. You're just like your father. Well, if that's a bad thing, then that's a bad thing. You need to get rid of it. You need to get set free. Because the Bible also talks about from generation to generation.
Yeah.
So we have to recognize that these things are flowing through the Bible, and the hatred of the Jews is flowing all through the Bible. That's why we need to pray, and that's what we do. We pray. That's why the Bible says that we should pray for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to be one with them.
But you think about this curse that was brought way back in Saul's day. That curse remained all through this time. And so then when Esther and Mordecai came, mm-hmm. and what happened with Haman, because he was an ancestor, this brought this thing to a conclusion. But the spirit is still released
released.
That's right, to control and do the things that wanted to be done. But it didn't affect Israel from that point. They had that broken at that time.
It had to, it was a timing. There had to be a building of the strength
right
of
time.
The enemy.
That's
and,
right.
Wow, that's just, I think about what's happening now. There has to be, there's a timing. The hatred's always been there, and it always will be there. Against the Jews. The Bible says it will.
All the way till the end.
But it has to come to a fullness of time.
That's right.
Where they have the power and the strength to try to do what they want to do. Just like, you know, Haman thought, and we all say boo, like you said, when we say the name Haman. Haman thought he had the power to destroy the Jews.
That's right.
And so everything is has a, it's for a time and a season. Even Pharaoh was wicked, but He thought he could destroy. Mm-hmm. He could destroy the Jews when he took one into the sea after them. You know, so there's always an enemy. There's always an enemy. And so we need to be wise.
That's right. But remember, Purim was not one of God's appointed times.
No.
Neither was Hanukkah. But God remembers any kingdom or nation that comes against the nation of Israel. He will never forget it. And so he used that to show what was going to happen in the future, but also what happened here in the Persian Empire. Mm-hmm. And so if we look at this real close, it's interesting. Because if you never read the book of Esther, we challenge you to go read it. Mm-hmm. But we see it started when they cast lots at Passover, okay? And so I'm just going to briefly say this, and we're going to go to the tail end. I will show you what the results of it was. But anyway, they did cast those lots, and it came up on the month of Adar, when they were able to, the Persians were able to go out with the king's decree and to destroy the Jews. So 11 months later is when that all happened. So it started at Passover. And
Passover?
That's right. Uh-huh. When they cast the lots.
And so cast the lots.
They cast the lots and all that. And so then we see that, you know, when they found out what was going on, well, Mordecai started having communications with Esther in the palace. And they talked back and forth with their servants and all that. And He told her what was going to happen and understood it, and so let her know. Well, then she knew that she had to do something about it, because if not, then her people would be destroyed. So she had her maidens and everyone there to pray and fast for what? For 3 days. And then to see what the Lord was going to have them to do, because she knew she went before the king without having permission to come. And if he didn't hold up that golden scepter, well, they could take her out and kill her. But she found favor with the Lord when she went in there. And
favor.
So she asked.
She was bold.
That's right. So she asked the king. You know, when she got there, she said, can I talk to you? And so
I need to talk to you.
Yeah, and so he did. He listened to her. So he says, well, what's your request up to half of the king of my kingdom? And she says, I'd like to have a banquet today with you and Haman, this Agagite that was so bad. And so
her enemy. She wanted to have a banquet for her enemy.
That's right.
And her king, her husband.
But she knew what the results was going to be, because she already had the banquet prepared.
She already had it prepared.
And so they came.
She had faith.
Yeah. So they came and had the banquet. And then during the banquet, the king asked her again. He says,
"What's your request?"
He said, "What's your request? Up to half of my kingdom." And she says, "That we could have a banquet tomorrow." And so they had another banquet the next day, and that was the day that Haman was exposed. And this was the key thing with it. I used to think about this. Why didn't she expose him on the first banquet? Why was it the second? Why was it the second banquet? Because the time had to be there.
The right day.
The time. The second banquet, if you study the scriptures real close, was on Nisan 17. Had to be the right time. This was the time that our Savior rose from the grave hundreds of years in the future. And this is what was key about this, to put it on the right timing to understand that. And so that's
showing that he overcame the works of
the
devil.
Amen. That's right.
So when, and Haman's a picture of the devil, isn't
right.
it? The Antichrist.
When he got hung on the gallows instead of Mordecai on that big gallows that was 75 feet tall, well, what happened? Well, his works, what he was going to do, was destroyed. Well, we've got to look at the prophetic implications. He was truly a pattern of the false Messiah and the Antichrist, and so he was destroyed, as the false Messiah will be one day. And so he was totally destroyed at that particular time. Well, it's interesting that God wanted the timing to come on Nisan 17 when he was going to die, because of what his son was going to do, God's son was going to do, years and years in the future. And so Yeshua died on that same day, on Nisan 17. And what did he do? He broke the power of sin and death off of our lives, and we can be set free from what Satan mm-hmm. wants to do in our lives mm-hmm. on the exact same day. That's what's incredible about it. But then if we go over to the tail end of the book of Esther, that's where I want to start.
You know, before you go there, I was thinking, you know, Haman is a picture of the devil's son.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And Yeshua, of course, we know he's the son of God.
That's right.
And so it shows that the son of God overcame the son of the devil.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know, and he still has 10 sons. Those 10 sons didn't die at that time. But he died, and he died on the same day that Jesus rose out of the grave. And what does it say? Jesus overcame what?
The power.
Power of death and hell.
Everything.
Everything. And he overcame those things. He conquered it.
Yeah.
And he came out of that grave. Can you just see him? I just see them just like shooting out of that grave. I've overcome, you know, and just praising God, you know, just praising his Father. Because, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. He did everything he was supposed to do, and he was victorious, and he came out. I just see him shooting up out of that grave he was in a place called paradise. I mean, he talked to those people that lived when Abraham lived, right, Pastor Gene? And so he just comes out victorious victorious over the devil.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So from the time they cast the lots, 11 months later came the month of Adar. And that's when they went out to destroy the Jewish people. But before that, shortly after that second banquet. Well, when Haman was exposed, well, then, you know, when the Persian king made a decree with Haman to go out and kill the Jews, well, that could not be reversed. So then Esther asked the king to make a new decree that they could defend themselves, and so that's what happened. So 11 months from the time the lots were cast, they defended themselves, and we see what happened, that they conquered the situation, killed a lot of the enemy and all that, and God put that in place for us to understand. So if we look at chapter 9 in the book of Esther, we can see here that it shows you over here that Haman had these 10 sons. They're all named. Well, they got great big long names. I'm not going to present them all, but it says in verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew them and put on the spoil, and put, but on the spoil, I should say, laid they not their hands, because they remember what Saul was told not to do that. So they said, we're not going to do it. And back in that day, they failed. Spoil. That's right. And so the 10 sons were killed. That's a picture of Donatus of the 10 kingdoms at the end with the Antichrist. And so we know that Haman is also a picture of that.
They actually killed them, and then they hung them on 10 gallows.
That's right.
To display them, you know,
that's
display
right.
them.
To show the victory.
Which sounds pretty terrible, but wow.
That's
but
right.
you know, this Mordecai and Esther, and not just Mordecai and Esther, but the king and all the people, because they sent out letters all throughout the province, all throughout the, what you call the towns and the townships and the, whatever it would be called, cities throughout the throughout that whole area. They sent out the these notes, letters, that they were going to defend themselves.
That's right.
So this was all a team. It was they had to work together as a team. Not only the queen, not only Mordecai, not only the king, but all of the people.
That's right.
All of the people had to work together, because all of these letters were sent out and posted throughout every province that on a certain date they were going to fight.
That's right, for themselves.
So they had to fight
themselves.
For what they believed in.
That's right. We need to do that today too, not physically, but in the spirit, don't we?
That's right.
To believe, well, for what we believe in. We look what's going on in our country. You know, all just the blasphemy about Jesus and what God wants to have done in this country and all that. We're coming against everything that God wants to have done. So we have to fight, don't we? We are. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew, when he says that.
Our warfare
is not mighty, but what? It's carnal.
It's mighty. Our warfare is not carnal.
Sorry, I said it backwards.
You said it backwards.
Yes.
But it's mighty. Mighty in God.
That's right.
So they had to go out and literally fight with swords, I imagine. But our warfare is not carnal, not with swords, but with the sword of the Spirit.
Jesus said the kingdom suffers violence, but the violent will take it by force, not by arms and weapons.
That's
but
right.
By what? In the realm of the Spirit.
It's in the realm of the Spirit. And we need to read, if you go over and you read Ephesians chapter 6, we all need to read that and know that we have been given armor. We've been given spiritual armor.
Amen.
And that we are to go out, and our battle is in the Spirit. It's in prayer. It's in intercession.
And we need to read 2 Corinthians.
And it's in witnessing. It's in sharing the gospel and speaking the truth, not being afraid to speak the truth in love.
We need to go read 2 Corinthians chapter 10 also about our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God.
Amen.
So we're in chapter 9 here in Esther. Let's read a little bit. I'm going to start in verse 12. This mentions about the 10 sons of Haman. It says, and the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition? Listen to this. What is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee? Or what is thy request further, and it shall be done? The king told Esther this. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so to be done, and the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hands. So this is a key right here to Daniel chapter 12, the three verses before the last one in chapter 12 of Daniel, where it talks about the 1290 days. Well, the tribulation, we know Jacob's trouble, is divided into two sections of 1260 days each. There's an extra 30 days. This Purim is setting a date 30 days before Passover. See, this started on the 14th, all right? 30 days before Passover. This is a clue to Daniel chapter 12 about the 1290 days. And it's all key with mid-tribulation. I'm not going to teach on that, but that's just something to think about if you look at it closely. There's charts in my book I wrote about the picture of the Messiah that reveals all this. So I'm going to read verse 15 again. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day of the month of Adar, this is very important, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000, and they laid not their hands on the prey. It's mentioned the third time. On the 13th day of the month of Adar and on the 14th day of the same rested they and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews, there were Shushan, assembled together on the 13th day thereof and on the 14th day thereof and on the 15th day of the same day of the same they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness. Now we know that Nisan 14, when Jesus died on the 14th of that month, there was really not a day of gladness, but Hebrews tells us that Jesus, Yeshua himself, counted all joy. But after his death, what gladness that brought to the world. What gladness we have because we're born again, we belong to the Messiah. So it really did bring a gladness. But at that day, they were celebrating because they destroyed God's enemies. Jesus destroyed the enemy when he died on that cross and rose from the grave. Amen. He destroyed the power of the enemy in our lives. And then it says at the end of, I'm going to read 19 again. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting and a good day and sending portions to one another. They actually exchanged gifts and all that. Now verse 20. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far. Now I'm just going to mention something here while we're talking about this name Ahasuerus. This was not really his name. This was a title. Like we had pharaohs in the Bible. They were all different. Pharaohs had different names, but their title was a pharaoh. Ahasuerus was a title. There was only a few kings that had that. And by the way, this Ahasuerus, from studying all this, is none other than King Darius the Mede. Okay, Darius the Mede. So this was a title of this man. And it says he, and the provinces of the king, Ahasuerus, both nigh and far. Verse 21. To establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar. Remember, this is 30 days prior to Passover on the Jewish calendar, and the 15th day of the same yearly. So the 14th of the month of Nisan is when Jesus died. Remember, and he was in the tomb. He was put on the tomb on what? On the 15th day, which is the first day of unleavened bread. And then we know he rose on the 17th day. It's all revealed in the book of Esther too. I'll read it again. To establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar, 30 days before Passover, and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned into them from sorrow to joy. Jesus' death went from sorrow to joy, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. This proves to you that mid-tribulation is going to be, the main mid-trib will be the time of a pyramid, also unleavened bread. And also the Passover, which we're talking about, unleavened bread, the season of unleavened bread, which includes the Passover as well. So he says that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. So they exchanged gifts in that day. Verse 23, and the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head. You hear that? All the violence, the stuff that's going on in this world right now, one day it's all going to return on those people that initiated all this. It's going to return onto their own heads. And that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Those 10 kings will be destroyed, as we talked about earlier. Verse 26, Wherefore, they called these days Purim after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time. You hear this? Their appointed time every year. I don't have that marked in my Bible. I'm going to mark that right now. The appointed time every year.
Every year.
And that these days should be remembered, and memorial, in other words, mm-hmm. and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote with all authority to confirm the second letter of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim in their times. Here we go. Their times appointed. I'm going to mark that one too. Their times appointed. According as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of fastings and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Now I'm going to finish. This last chapter has three verses. And the king, this was Ahasuerus, or King Darius, yeah. laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. And all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, mm. whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and the Persia?
Yes.
For Mordecai, the last verse, for Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king. He replaced Haman, didn't he? He's next unto the king. Hallelujah.
He was given the ring.
That's right. Yeshua is sitting on the right hand of his father right now. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king, Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. What a conclusion to the book.
Wow.
So here's the whole thing is a prophetic picture and a pattern of what Christ came to do for us.
So,
amen?
So the king would represent God the Father.
That's right.
And Esther would be, she did the work. She did Jesus. Right. She'd refer.
Yeah, and now look at Mordecai like the Holy Ghost, you know?
Mordecai, right? Mm-hmm. And so, well, actually, Mordecai was given the authority as well. So he could be a picture also of the Lord because he was put second in command to the
That's
king,
right.
wasn't
sure
he?
Sure was.
Yeah, but they worked together as a team. And, you know, God's name isn't mentioned
One
anywhere
time.
In this book of Esther.
But look what he did.
See.
Now, people might read this book, Pastor Don, and think, well, this just happened in a short period of time. This was about 12 or 13 years from beginning of this to the end with all that happened. Mm-hmm. From the time that Vashti was removed from being queen and they had to pick a new queen and all that. There's a lot of time went by through this. It didn't happen immediately. Even from the time of casting lots mm-hmm. until the battle came, that was 11 months later. That was almost a year later. So we see all these things. But it's amazing. This little book is so important. And as Don mentioned, you know, God's name's not mentioned one time, but his signature's on every single page. I love it.
Well, so. Also we see that Mordecai was a praying man.
Mm-hmm.
He sought the Lord.
He sure
and
was.
He was in front of the gate, the king's gate, where you're not supposed to be in sackcloth and ashes and praying. And, you know, and Esther, she declared a fast for 3 days, didn't she?
Yeah.
And so she had to have heard from the Holy Ghost. She had to heard from the, as
the
she
Lord.
Was seeking the Lord, praying, and trusting the Lord, because she said, you know, I'm going to go before the king. This is what I'm going to do. And if I perish, I perish. She was willing to pay the price
right.
of whatever it had to be. Because she, and you know, Mordecai told her, he says, you know, you're here for such a time.
Is this, yeah.
And aren't we all here for such a time? We're all here for such a time. You know, the wicked right come up and also the righteous come up. So, but who's going to win? You know, God is always going to, he's always going to cause us to be victorious as we obey him.
Amen.
As we obey him. You know, the things that Esther had to do, they weren't always easy. And the things that Mordecai did and the things that Moses had to do. All these people in the Bible who were victorious, they all had to do something.
That's it.
They were all given instructions. And so, and even the people, you know, they had to go out and be ready for war. They had to go out and be ready for war. And I think about, you know, whenever we're obedient to what God says, he causes us to overcome
and to prosper
the works of the devil. And you mentioned that one scripture over here in 2 Corinthians.
Yeah, chapter 10.
Chapter 10, I'm just going to read it. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
That's right.
Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are
not carnal,
but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These were strongholds.
Yeah.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
That's right.
Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge.
That's right.
Revenge all disobedience.
Amen.
And then there's a key. He doesn't stop there.
That's right.
Comma. When your obedience is fulfilled.
That's right.
When you do what you're supposed to do.
And you can overcome God, the other things, right?
When we that's right. When we do what God has charged us to do, and we're obedient, He's always there to bring us through, and to bring us victorious.
I like the beginning of that verse. Beginning of that verse where it says, "Our weapons are not carnal." Carnal means to be unspiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So the things we do there, it's in a spiritual realm. It's not with with weapons. It's in a spiritual realm. We bombard heaven. You know, the heaven we mentioned, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence right now, especially in our country. But the violent, which the believers will what? What are we going to do? The believers will what? We'll take it with what? With force, which is with prayer and standing in that place with the Lord.
Intercession.
Prayer, the things that He wants us to do. So our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God.
The
kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the kingdom take it by force. Amen.
It's mighty through God, not through the hand of warfare.
That's right.
Through God, because God's mighty right arm brings the victory. God's mighty hand brings the victory.
So this book is an incredible book to study. So we challenge all of you that are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone's listening who's never read this book. Or some of you maybe read it before. Read it during this season again about Purim. And you'll get touched. You'll see things just pop off the page you never realized before. And God wants you to know that, how important this is. And so this was not an appointed time, but it was an appointed time for Mordecai and Esther to save the nation of Israel. And we know the Maccabees later on in Hanukkah. How Hanukkah was established. Well, they were chosen for a specific time to stand up and fought and to take the city back for God and rededicated the temple and all that. And so there's a time for everything. There's a timing for everything, isn't there, Donna?
Yes, there is.
There's a time and a season for everything. And so this is amazing how this is all revealed in this little book called Esther. It's really not a little book. It's an incredible book. But as we mentioned, remember, God's signature is on every single page. It is amazing, amazing, amazing when we look at all the things that God shows us in this little book. And the enemy's around right now trying to destroy all of us, but he's not going to be able to do that, is he, Pastor Donna? We know that.
So she risked her life
to
protect her people.
Absolutely.
From the plot that was set before him for them to destroy them.
That's right. You probably all heard about the Bible codes, where we've heard a lot about that with the Hebrew language, and they've been talking about it for a lot of years. And one man basically discovered that years ago. He's passed away now, and he did it without the help of a computer, where they count so many letters in a verse, and then say it's five, and then they count five more, and they write that letter down, and they put all those letters together, and they come up with words. An interesting thing in the book of Esther, very prophetic, is in chapter 5 that I realized and looked at quite a few years ago. It's in the book I've got also. I think I talk about this. Chapter 5 of Esther, verse 1 says this: "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house." The word "against" means next to. Now think about it. Here's this third day. We were talking about these numbers, triangles and threes, for the last 2 weeks on the program here. Well, the third day. This is interesting. If you think about this, this third day in this particular case in Esther's day happened to fall on Nisan 16, okay, that third day, okay? Because we go up before that and you can see 13, 14, and 15, and then we see Nisan 16. So it came to pass on the third day. The third day is when Jesus came out of the grave, right?
And there's another third day coming. We're talking about
that's
threes.
Right, that's right.
And, you know, it says that she prepared herself in her royal apparel. Royal garments.
Uh-huh.
And what is God's, what are we supposed to be doing? Preparing ourselves to meet the Lord and in our royal garments of righteousness.
That's right.
What are our royal garments? Our royal garments are our garments of righteousness to prepare ourselves for the third day.
That's
because
right.
It's coming. And she what? She stood in the inner court. She stood there.
Right.
You know, she knew she wasn't supposed to present herself before the king. Well, who's the king represent? Well, we have a king. Yeshua
right.
is our king. Amen.
That's right.
And what? By the king's house. Over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate. And you mentioned that. And it was so when the king saw Esther. Wow. That's right. The queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Wow. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter.
That's right. Wow. But back to verse 1 here, it says in the third day. I think Yeshua came out on the third day. He came up, and now he's on the right hand of his Father. Okay? But we have things coming to us in the future on the beginning of the third day. We see here Esther's a picture of what? Of Yeshua himself. He's going to have royal robes and apparel. And you and I, because we'll be part of Yeshua that day, on that third day, we'll be standing there also in our apparel that God's going to give us. And stood in the inner court of the king's house. Well, who's the king? It's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Lord. So Ahasuerus then was a pattern or picture of what? God the Father. So it's going to happen to us. It happened to Esther in this day. Jesus died on the third day. We know, died on Nisan 14, I should say, and rose on the third day. And now he's on the right hand of his Father. And I'm sure he's dressed in some beautiful garments for us to see one day. And so he came in, stood in the inner court when he came to heaven with his Father in his house and up there in heaven.
Awesome.
So we think about this. So we have a pattern right here, prophetic word about the third day again. It's amazing when we look at all this. So there's a lot of things in the scriptures that we see. If we'll just understand what God's wanting us to know. And by the way, when I looked at chapter 5, verse 1, I looked in there and there's a word that's revealed in this with these equidistant spacing of the Hebrew letters. It's a word that's spelled natzal, N-A-T-Z-A-L, which means a sudden disappearance or removal in this, showing that there's going to be what? A resurrection and a catching away one day. It's incredible. All on what? At the beginning of what? The third day, which would be the third day would actually be what? The millennial kingdom in the future, prophetically.
Millennial kingdom.
That's right.
There's a third day coming.
There's a third day coming. We're almost done with the second day from the time that Yeshua went back to being with his Father. But there's a third day coming very soon. So we have all these prophetic foreshadows in this wonderful book. And I always thought about this, Pastor John, as we was talking. When Esther went and all her people was praying for those 3 days, how did she know to have two banquets? Well, I believe with all my heart that God spoke to her somehow. She realized that God wanted her to have two banquets. So the first one was just like an introduction. Well, she could expose the whole thing at that time. But God had a plan to put it on the right timing for us to know today, the day that Yeshua was going to die and all that. It's incredible, and raised from the grave. It was all right there in that picture. And so I believe she understood all, because as we mentioned, when she called and asked for the first banquet, she had it already prepared, because she knew in her heart that God showed her this, that the king was going to say, yes, I'm going to come to the banquet with you and Haman today. And then she asked the same thing on that banquet, and they came the next day again, didn't it, Pastor Don?
Also, I think about, you said we don't know which day, because this is all around we're talking about the cycles of the moon, the calendar, the Jewish calendars is on the cycles of the moon, mm-hmm. And so we're talking about this was a full moon.
That's right.
This was a full moon, so everything had to be in the right place. So for this is the full moon would be the 14th or between the 13th through the 15th. See, they don't know exactly back in those days. They didn't know exactly when
the day of the week. We didn't have them in those days.
Right. But so when they were looking for the new moon, they didn't know exactly. So this had to be exactly on the full moon. And she says she hadn't been there. It tells you back over here in chapter 4.
Yeah.
That she hadn't even been before the king for 30 days.
That's right.
So there was another full moon. If you go backwards, if you mm-hmm. count 30 days back,
yeah.
That was when she hadn't been before the king for 30 days,
right.
Which was a whole month.
Sure.
30 days from the full moon the month
right.
before.
But you look at chapter 4 where Don is talking about, and we found out that they cast lots on the 14th day, first month, they cast Purim and came out to what? The 12th month, which is the month of Adar. And so we find out what day it was and all that. It was actually on the 13th day, and that evening it became what? Nisan 14. But if we go over to chapter 4 now, verse 15, it says, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together, she told all the Jews that are present in Yishan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. So here we have the 13th, 14th, and 15th, okay? Because it started over here in verse 12, it says, on the 13th day of the first month, there was a decree went out. And so they fasted on the 13th, 14th, and 15th, and then we come into chapter 5, verse 1. Now on the third day, which would be what? The 16th, okay? Isn't that right?
Isn't it interesting, though, Pastor Gene, that, even the enemy knew exactly when he wanted to kill them, when he wanted to destroy all of the Jewish people, because we're talking about the same time that Jesus, Yeshua, went into Jerusalem, you know, and they call Palm Sunday, right? And it was Hosanna, Hosanna, and then just a few days later, he's hanging on a cross, you know, they want to kill him, crucify him. Well, you know, there was such a mixture of people there, some people who loved him and some people who wanted to kill him. But we're looking at the same time of the month, the same time of the month, the full moon again. You know, Jesus he came on the fullness of time, and he also died at the fullness of time on a full moon. What? That we might have newness of life. So it's you go through the Bible, it's like, you know, knitting a sweater, I guess, or something. You see that you're repeating the stitch. You know, the stitch is being repeated. You go so many months, and then here you come back to Nisan again, and you're coming back to the same periods of time. And so this is, all these seasons are being repeated. And so, you know, God works with seasons. And sure, so what does. I was said at the beginning of this teaching is, we're in a new season.
Yes, we are.
So we're coming to this new season. And, you know, as you move into this new season, it seems like the seasons, I mean, I know the days don't change, but it seems like they go fast. It seems like the time is just increasing. The time is increasing. But it's just, to me, it's just amazing to see in the Bible how God, if you know the calendar, that's another thing, Pastor Gene, that's so important in your teaching that you have. And people really should get this, because we don't make any money off the book that you did, and you spent hours and hours and hours.
Years.
But the very first lesson is to know the calendar. See, if you don't know the time, you don't know the times and the season, and you don't understand the calendar, then this is going to be confusing to you. But if you begin to know that there's about God's calendar, see, God's calendar does not change. Even when we're going to get into the very last book, you get into Daniel, you get into Revelation. God's calendar is the same all the way through the Bible. It doesn't change.
Nope.
It doesn't change. No, it's always the same. And so the seasons that he has happens every year. Every year, the same season comes back. So you should be prepared for the season. It's just like, you know, winter. They know it's going to be cold up there. If they don't get prepared for winter, they're going to be, they won't have firewood. They won't have, you know, say you, you know, if you say That's you right. have, a, you have to cut wood. Say you have to have food in the house. And you have to prepare.
Either canning and all that.
You have to prepare for each season. And if you're not prepared for each season, then what's going to happen? You know, you're going to suffer.
That's right.
You're going to suffer. But see, we have to be prepared. And I think what the Bible's telling us too, as we go through it and we see all these things that happen, say at this time, say we're talking about Nisan, and we see these things that happen, and it should show us that we need to understand and be prepared for the next season. We don't want to wait till the season's upon us and say, oh, I'm going to prepare today. Today I'm going to prepare. This is my day of preparation. No, it takes time to prepare. See, when they had to send out those letters, it took time to get those letters into all the provinces and to get the people's hearts ready, you know.
That's right.
And so it took time. But sometimes God does say, do this now, like when they did the fast. Well, you know, it wasn't just Mordecai and Esther and her, the people that were with her, I guess you'd call them her ladies. Or
just gathered together all the Jews that are in Shushan. They all did the same thing.
The Jews come together and fast. That's what's wrong. The church is not together. It needs to come together and do what God has called us to do.
And the key thing was they didn't eat or drink. Can you imagine not drinking for 3 days? Night or day, it says.
Mm, where's it say that?
In verse 16, go gather together in chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Go gather together all the Jews
all
that are
Jews.
Present in Shushan and fast ye for me, Esther said, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Nope. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish.
It would be very difficult to find any
3 days without any water.
Let alone a whole group of people.
That's right.
That would
to
come
that.
Together and say and do what the word of the Lord said.
That's
because,
right.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not supposed to do that. Well, mm-hmm. If God gives somebody that anointing to speak the truth, like he had given her. See, Esther had sought the Lord. So he gave her these directions. And so if they didn't want to believe her, Even Mordecai, he listened to her. He was already praying and probably fasting. You know, he was already in sackcloth and ashes at the king's gate. he was already, they had already tried to get him to change his clothes and get away from there, making all that wailing. I'm sure he was wailing and crying out to the Lord. But when she said this, which represents the power, see, she had the authority. When she said this, that, you know, the people did it. The people did it. But like you said, it would be difficult to have this to happen, I think, in this country right now, to have this to happen. What would have to be? Would have to be almost like the country.
A supernatural miracle.
Something's going to happen to America if you don't do this. You know, a lot of people don't even believe that. So that's
Jonah
powerful.
Went to Nineveh. He said, if you don't turn, this is coming down in 40 days. This place will be destroyed.
And the king,
listened. Yeah.
There the king listened, and there the king gave the rules and said to do that. And, you know, and then it was animals as well.
Yeah.
So, wow.
But you know, a lot of people think that Esther only went one time and the king held up a scepter. There was two times. In chapter 8, verse 4, it says she went in there again. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. So there was two times that she went in there.
Mm-hmm.
Uninvited. Hallelujah. Boldness. Amen. So it's incredible. But
she had favor.
Yeah,
we have favor with the Lord.
Yeah, I like verse 9 and 10 here. We're down to about 2.5 minutes. Of chapter 7, it says, Harbona, which is one of the hand chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows of the tree, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, stand in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. This was on Nisan 17. Amen.
He was hung on his own gallows in front of his own house.
His family. So.
And that was really an embarrassment. Praise
God. It's incredible to think
about
that.
Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you here every
Saturday.
We'll
talk some more about this next week, maybe.
At 12 noon. Thank you, Lord. At 12 noon. So we have church this weekend, and we have a Sunday morning service at 10 a.m., and we also have some classes this afternoon. If you want to come to the witnessing class, it's 4 o'clock. I'm going to give you the telephone number, and make sure you mark your calendar if you'd like to come to the Purim celebration we're going to have on March the 7th at 5 o'clock. And so the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. We'll say hello to Roscoe and Audrey. We'll see you soon.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Pastor Gene.
Hallelujah. So we tell you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm just
Hallelujah. Kind of, well, we're blessed to be here.
But anyway, we tell you every week we're proud and honored to be on this program. Because
your redemption draweth near. And we say what, Pastor Gene? Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.